segment.
You were not in the shoe.
Have you?
Yes, yes.
Is this like a thing that I'm not in the shoe?
No, were you actually?
Yeah,
yeah.
What's
on your arm?
Yes.
What's on your arm?
Zevi was?
Yeah, he was.
He had the most memorable.
Rob, I'm hungry.
He lost all that weight.
Oh, right. He said not to bring. Let me help you. Right.
But I'm so hungry, Rob.
You can put it down. But don't eat it.
Fine.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Started dying. First, let's get started.
Yes, harbe la sot.
Everyone's bringing food.
No, we're doing
food.
No food in here.
You can bring it in. I'm joking. You can bring it in. Just don't
start. Don't worry, I'm not going to eat it.
Cat dying.
So,
maybe
leave it in the front.
Oh.
I don't like you.
Baruch Hashem, the guys don't look at their phones. It's like, for those of you who are on the Shanae Mikra chat, please don't post anything after this. Name. No, guys, don't do it. Name.
Time to take the authoritarian approach.
Then I just kicked you all off the chat, you know?
I
didn't give it back yet.
Either Adam's only still symbolic.
You could just make a name.
Everyone who wrote their names down, don't make them an Adam.
Okay.
Hello,
Joe. Hi, bro. So good to see you. It's good to have you back. I miss you. I miss you all. As I mentioned, the purpose of these meetings is twofold. Number one, to finish up what we did not finish off in Tefillah Shiur. If you ask me what's the difference between guys who took it the first semester and guys taking it the second semester, I'll tell you one big difference. I am significantly cutting the amount of Sichas Aran I do with the next group because I have to finish Tefillah with them. I don't have extra runway for them. For you guys, because we did a lot of Sichas Aran, so we could not finish Tefillah, but Baruch Hashem, we have these Tuesdays to do two things. Sometimes we'll do Tefillah and Yanim, in the Siddur, basically, because we finished all the fundamentals, basically, except for today, which is like quasi between the two, and Sichas Aran. So we're going to mix it up throughout the entire, I don't know, you know, it depends on what mood I'm in. Sometimes we'll do Sichas Aran, sometimes we'll do Tefillah. And I'm happy to continue meeting for the rest of the year where it's Shaykh. You know, so far it hasn't been Shaykh on Tuesdays. But when we have this little break on Tuesdays, I'm happy to do it. Okay, let us begin. Is there a way to shut off?
I was trying to figure it out. I don't think it's...
Rosh likes that sauna, I guess.
Is this like a big note?
No, not yet.
Are you meditating?
We are going to start today's Shiur with a meditation Welcome. You timed it right, you'll see why. You're gonna get a kick out of this one.
Oh really?
So, it's 2.0.
But
there's some line. Yeah. So the first we're going to first start with something that you've all already done. It was actually ironic to me. It's okay. It's actually ironic to me that I got two comments today from people who spoke to me about this Tefillah Shiur that happens to be is incorporated into today's Tefillah Shiur. But it's taking what we did already and what you know already and the meditation we've done already and sort of taking it to the next level. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off by doing the meditation that we know as the Baruch Hu meditation that goes through that process. But you'll see there's a point that I stopped and we're going to continue it. So that's we're going to take it to the next level today. And then I'll use that to explain to you something that really is mind-boggling and hopefully will open your eyes to a certain aspect of tefillah that I'm pretty confident you were unaware of. So that's where we're going with this. Okay? Let us begin. Again, it's not a perfectly dark room, but we'll have to make do. You guys are already experts in this. You've done this every tefillah already. You could probably already do it with your eyes open, but we'll start with this. Thank you. Everyone close your eyes. Now you know why the food issue. You can't exactly eat food during this. You can visualize it if you'd like.
Visualize the pizza.
I'm telling you, when you visualize the food, try it next time. Before you eat, visualize eating the whole thing, and you won't be hungry anymore. You'd be like, this food that I'm eating doesn't taste anywhere near the food I experienced in my mind. You know? It's a good weight loss tactic. No? So let's close our eyes. Remember, try not to fall asleep. It's warm in here. Breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. As thoughts enter into your mind, let them pass through. Don't focus on them. Just let them go in, let them go out. You're sitting on a beach. It's a warm summer day. Not too hot. Nice. Sun beating down gently on your chest. You're the only one on the beach. Your feet is comfortably nestled in the sand. You take your hands and you run it through the sand. You're relaxed. Try to visualize and see all of the colors, the details. You feel the breeze, the light breeze. You see and you hear the waves. You look up and you see the occasional cloud and seagull passing by. It's a beautiful afternoon and you're relaxed. As you're sitting there, you start to feel your body getting lighter. And your body begins to float upwards, gently. And it continues to flow up and up and up. You're relaxed, and it's effortless. You turn around, and you see the beach that you were just sitting in as you continue to float upwards. The land underneath you becomes farther and farther distant. Now you see the entire city, ultimately the entire country, continent, and you continue to fly upwards. And now you have crossed the atmosphere and you're starting to float into outer space. Take a minute. Take it all in. You look around and you see the perfect oval sphere that is the planet Earth. You look around and you see the sun in the distance, the moon and the stars in all of its glory. And you say, Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem. And you feel it through all of your cells. Kulam b'chochma sisa molar etzkinyanecha. What a beautiful physical world you created. All for us. How could you not be happy? What a beautiful experience. And you continue to float upwards. At a rapid pace. You start to pass the planets of the solar system. You see Mars. Jupiter. Saturn, with all of its rings, and now you start to move faster out of the solar system, through the galaxy, and you're passing by all of the stars and all of the planets at rapid speed, at warp speed, and you are absolutely stunned at the vastness of everything that is the physical world and everything that Hashem created. And as you're traveling through this, you begin to transform, to transition into another dimension that is not beyond the universe, but is a deeper layer within the physical universe. And now you see the vast spiritual world the world of the angels that are running from place to place and doing the necessary work required to keep the physical world going. And for a minute, you settle right in front of an angel. Look at the angel in all of its glory. You're just a speck compared to this massive angel. And you see the majestic angel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created to do the work necessary to uphold the physical world. And you begin to travel on, and now you pass over thousands and thousands of thousands of angels that are all saying, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakos, that are praising Hashem and running to do His bidding in every which way. And you're blown away that it's not just the physical world that's beautiful, but the world of the angels as well. And as you're pondering this and watching over this, you notice that you start to enter even into a deeper space that's so spiritual, that's so powerful, it's beyond physical form. And you just feel an unbelievable amount of pulsating energy. And you realize that this is the very energy forces that powers everything. Powers the world of the angels. Powers the physical world. And you're just totally overwhelmed by this unbelievable amount of energy. The energy that is the basis of everything. And as you're feeling this and pondering this, you notice out of the corner of your eye a small speck, blue light. And you start to get drawn to it. And it gets closer and closer and more pronounced. And before you know it, it's all there right in front of you, and you become enveloped within it. Now you're within the blue light, and you felt something like you've never felt before. And you realize you've gone to an even deeper dimension. And that dimension is what motivates the energy, is what motivates the spiritual world, is what motivates the physical world. It's Hashem's love. And you feel an unbelievable amount of love emanating from Hashem in this blue light. You're so overwhelmed by this, a love like you've never felt before. Take a second to feel that, how much Hashem loves us. And that's where everything comes from. And as we're feeling this unbelievable love of Hashem, and it's like, can't believe I ever even doubted you. Now notice, in the far distance, a little speck of a white light. And although it's small, it's so powerful that it catches your attention. And you start to get drawn towards it. And you get pulled in towards that white light. You're still in the blue light, but the white light is getting bright and larger, but not bright that you can't look at it. Beautiful, majestic, a light like you've never seen that just draws you to it like you're going back home, like it's bringing you to your source. And you approach it and you see that it's behind a glass wall. And you put your hands on that glass wall. Enveloped by the love of Hashem in the blue light, standing in front of and putting your hands on that glass wall that is the white light, which represents Hashem's unity, Hashem's oneness. And you realize that everything is connected to Hashem's oneness. Everything in truth emanates from that oneness, and you're so drawn to it and so frustrated that there is this ceiling, that there is this wall that's preventing you from just going in. But on the other hand, if you go in, how could you possibly exist within it? It's Hashem's oneness. And finally, as you're frantically looking for a place to get in, you find a doorknob. And you open the door and take three steps back and walk right in. You shouldn't be able to experience this, because it's all Hashem's oneness and Hashem's unity. But Hashem invites you in. and you experience total nullification to God. But it's a nullification that feels beautiful. You feel finally home again. You feel linked in. Stand up while you're experiencing this. Everyone take a stand up. You're so blown away, keeping your eyes closed. You're so blown away by this unbelievable experience of being overtaken by Hashem's unity that you don't even feel yourself anymore. You don't even feel your body anymore. You're just standing together, feet together, hands crossed in front of you, just bound to the unbelievable, overwhelming light of Hashem, oneness and unity of Hashem. And now take a minute right here and either say a few words to Hashem or just see yourself as davening to Hashem in this lofty place. I'll give you 30 to 40 seconds. Never want to leave. But unfortunately, you can't stay here forever. It's time to go. And you start to move back towards the door. You quickly fall back into the blue light, into the love of Hashem. Fall further down into the energy forces, down into the world of the angels. You continue to see yourself fall like a gravitational pull back into the physical world, quickly through all of the galaxies, back to our solar system. You see planet Earth in front of you, you fall through the atmosphere, and you collapse right back into your chair. Sit back down. But right here, right now, in this place, something, there's a feeling that overwhelms you. And that feeling is, how could I possibly have elevated to such a lofty place? But yet I'm so physical, filled with sin, just a lowly human being. How could it be? It's one thing if I was an animal and this is where I was meant to be, but I see where I could reach. I see where I could get to. And I'm so disappointed and upset and depressed that I could possibly just be human, that I could possibly sin, that I collapse on the table in front of me and lie down on my arm. Do that. And I take a second to mourn my condition. That I'm this being that's capable of connecting to God's oneness and God's unity, but at the same time, I'm the same being that has to eat and sleep and sin and talk Lashon Hara and look at things I shouldn't look at. And I feel a depression so deep that it's almost like I can't even exist in this world. It's like I'm dead. And I take this opportunity, not because I'm afraid of punishment, not because my parents told me I did something wrong, because I realize what I'm capable of, and how could it be that I could live such a short-sighted, sinful life? And I take the opportunity to cry out to Hashem and ask Him forgiveness for all of my sins. Unfortunately for you, this wasn't your choice. Hashem put you down here for a reason. And He wants you to know that even though you have sinned, and even though it's true that as long as you are on this world, you are mortal, you are not here alone. Because when you went up and ascended to Hashem, you didn't come down here back alone. You pulled HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness down here. In fact, that's the whole purpose of your life. Hashem is watching over you, and you should be reassured, so you're going to sit up straight. And you're going to feel reassured that despite the difficulties, that despite the sins, that despite our compromised position, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to watch us, and He's there to guide us. And even though we don't know what to do, we stand up again, and we feel confident and reassured that God will be with us, and that for the sake of His name, He will help us in this world. And in His name, we have confidence. Okay, you can open your eyes and sit down. Rabbi Isaiah, I'm going to ask you your permission. I'm going to try generally not to go past 1:15. I want to know if you're opening to davening mincha together, because I don't want to finish right now. As you know, the first half of what we did, or the first three quarters of what we did, was the meditation of Baruch Hu. Starting off from Baruch Hu, we're silent, we sit in our chairs, we meditate, Marabu Masech Hashem, Kulam Bechachma Asisa, that line, we see all of the physical world. Then we transform to a deeper place. The world of the angels, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Berurim, Kulam Gedolim. We see them say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We transform to the deeper realm of, as the Ramchal says, the Kochos HaNivdolim, the transcendental forces known as the Srafim, Va'ofanim, V'chayos HaKodesh, the angels. They turn towards the Srafim. The Srafim are the transcendental forces, the energy, the place of the Kisei HaKavod. We go even to a deeper level, Avarabah, Aftanu. The blue light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love, we grab onto our tzitzis, the blue and the white. And before we see Hashem's oneness, we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Then we take three steps back, open the door, and walk into the world of Atzilus, the world of nearness, as it says in Kabbalah. And we become totally enveloped by Hashem's light. And now we're in a place, mentally, where we can really connect and address to Hashem. And so we ask Him for everything that we need. And we connect Him, and we stand up with our feet together, and we are in this lofty, unbelievable place. That's where I stopped last time. Now what did you do? You took three steps back. And then what happened? Not going to go through all the sources. We don't have time to go through everything. I'm going to go through and select. If you see the ideas, as you know, in Tefillah Shir, I don't just meditate. I like to show you the sources from the inside. Anyone not get? Parshas Ekev. After the sin of the Egel, Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ve'esnapel lifnei Hashem, that I fell before Hashem. Karishoina, Arboim yoim v'arboim laila, 40 days and 40 nights, lechem lo achalti, umayim lo shatiti, did not eat or drink, al kol chatoiseichem, asher chatosim, in order to ask Hashem forgiveness for all the sins that you did. Lasos hara be'ine Hashem lachiso, the evil that you did in order to anger Hashem. I tried to do tshuva for you. What lashon does he use? The esnapel. Interesting terminology for prayer. And I fell. Continue down to the next pasuk. The esnapel lifnei Hashem esarbo amayoyim esarbo amalayla asher esnapalti. Ki omer Hashem lashmid eschem. Hashem wanted to destroy you. So what did I do in order to try to undo that? I was esnapel. I fell. What in the world is Moshe Rabbeinu referring to? Why didn't he just say, I davened for you? I asked forgiveness. What is the esnapel? There's an unbelievable, skip two pages. There's an unbelievable Zohar. This Zohar, how do you know that it's something you could rely upon, even if you're not Kabbalistic type person? Because this Zohar is brought down by the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, to explain to us one of the most misunderstood tefillos in the entire Siddur. And if you haven't figured it out by now, the most misunderstood tefillah, the one that everyone says mazel tov when we get off the hook from saying it, is tachlit. So the Zohar explains what is tachlit. And in fact, the Zohar is so fundamental that the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, commenting on the tour in Halacha, felt that he needed to bring the Zohar down in order to explain what in the world is tachlit. Someone who doesn't know the Zohar has no clue what he's doing when he's doing tachlit. So let's take a look and see what the Zohar says. Don't look at the... This is a huge piece with all the... I'm not going to do the whole thing. Don't worry. I'm going to skip. Where you see where the first bracket is on the right side of the page? He first gives an introduction a little bit to Tachanun. Go to where the period is, about five lines down from the wide lines. Okay? Libasar kam. A person gets up in the morning. He said, I see where I am?
Yeah.
Oh, the Beit Knishta. This right side of the page, by the way, there's a dot. And then it says the word Lebatar. Lebasar kam. Person gets up. Oh, the Beit Knishta. He goes to shul. Misater betotafe. He wraps himself in his tefillin. Iskase bikisuye. He covers himself with his talis. Olu marchi garme bekorbanayim. He begins to say karbanas. Bekadmisa first. Lebasar afterwards. Kabbal le'oma chusav disidur the shivchei de David. He then goes ahead and says the praises of David. The inun sidura, the omachusa, the sidura, the shivcha, the praise that we give in the organized way of psukah de zimra, da ashrei alehu ol, that's referring to ashrei and all the others. Lebasar sidura the tzlusa de miyushav, the tzlusa de meumad. Afterwards, he does the tefillah sitting and the tefillah standing. The tefillah sitting is berachas kriya shema. The tefillah standing is shmona esrei. The kishraloin kachada, in order to attach all the worlds as one. In other words, what we did, starting from the physical world into the world of the angels, going up all the worlds, and attaching all of that together, ascending all as one. Lebosar tzilusa demusha tzilusa demuma, the kishraloin kachada, okay. The uvdo bekad maisa vimula depuma lebosar kedarma. Now that we did this davening, and we tied everything together, and we tied together the upper worlds with the lower worlds, at this point, a person has to visualize. He has to see himself. Bosser de Sayan Silusa Ba'amida, after he finishes the Shmona Esrei, Ki'ilu Itpater Me'alma, as if he passed away. Because he now separated himself from the tree of life. That lofty place where we all just were. That world of oneness with Hashem. That place of atzilus, of closeness in the Shemona Esrei. Now suddenly we take three steps back and we find ourselves right here. The Kanish Raglov. And he becomes gathered up. Lagabe Ilana Demaisa. Now he finds himself with the tree of death. Skip a few words. Skip to the second narrow line. Kidekoyos. When this happens, Va'odina al Chatoi. A person should admit his sins. He should ask Hashem forgiveness for his sins. Hanafsha Mesiralach. He should say, my nefesh, I give it over to you, Hashem. I totally give it over. Vadai miyechse bar noshkarmi. Certainly a person should see himself. Ki'ilu potter me'alma denafshe. As if he left this world. Moser lahayat or demosa. Because he finds himself in this place of death. Then he goes on to explain why there's no va. Okay, we'll skip that. My mashmalon. Why do we have to do this? Why are we doing this? What's the purpose of doing this activity? Says the Zohar. Roza de Milo de Ischoivin de Loy Mischaprin ad Ispoter min Alma Hada. There are certain sins that no matter what, a person cannot be forgiven for in this world. Hu dichsiv? That's what it says. Im yechu paravon azeh lachem ad tamusun. That I will not forgive you for the sin until you die. Vu yavadai garmin lemoisa. But if a person visualizes himself as if he died, umasar garmi lahayatar, and he puts himself mentally into this place, la bepikdona kamo belayla, not like going to sleep at night, ela kemad yispater mi alma, he visualizes himself that I'm mamish disconnected from this world. I want to be there with you, Hashem. I want to be connected to you. I don't want to sin. I'm disconnected from the world of sin. That's what he means, ispater. I'm told ispater doesn't just mean death. Ispater means removing yourself. I'm not nagah to this world. I'm not that person. I'm that person up there. Vadai. V'tikuna. Daboy b'kavana b'liba. Certainly, this tikun requires a tremendous amount of focus. Ukedin kudsha berichu mechaper le'lechoyvei. And as a result, Hashem forgives you. Even for sins that require death. That the Rambam writes, Chil Hashem, things like that. A person is not forgiven until he dies, says the Zohar. That means Tachna. We're in this lofty place. We come back down from this lofty place and we collapse on our chair. And we have an opportunity right now. If there's ever going to be a point of realization of what we could be and what we have been, this is the opportunity. Look where we just were. Look where we're capable of. But look at where we are. And that moment allows you a realization and an opportunity. And that opportunity is to go deep. That opportunity is to ask forgiveness emotionally. Dimosi. Some of the other Gemaras I bought previously, the idea that Shardima loininalu, the gate of tears never ceases. Rabbi say, if somebody were to ask me, what's the most powerful tefillah for forgiveness of sin? If anyone tells you anything else, they're wrong. Tachanun. The only reason you can't say tachanun on happy days is because it requires you to go into a depressed place. We don't want you to do that on Rosh Chodesh. But it's an opportunity on most days to achieve such a level of Hashem. I know what I could be. I see what I could be. I was just there. Don't want to do this anymore. What an opportunity to sin. But Hashem doesn't want us to remain in that depressed place. Hashem wants you to know, I know. I believe in you too. Shoimer Yisrael, Shoimer She'eris Yisrael. I go from that collapsed place of Tzar li moy linip lana, and then I sit up. Shoimer Yisrael, Shoimer She'eris. Hashem is there to watch over us. Hashem is here with me. He didn't leave me. I didn't leave him. I brought him with. V'anachnu loineda manase, and then we stand up. The minhag is to stand up, and we finish off. Ezreinu Elokei Yishenu al devar kavod shemecha. Hashem is going to help us for the honor of His name. V'atzileinu, and He will save us. Mechaper al chatoseinu, for He has forgiven us for our sins. L'man shemecha, for the sake of His name. What a reassurance! An unbelievable reassurance that a person should be in such a place. I want to end off with this. Mitzvah gedola liot b'simcha tamid. Rabbi Nachman, person always has to be happy. I have a kasha. Based on the Zohar, it's not a kasha on me anymore. Before you had the kasha on me. Now I showed you it's a Zohar. Rav Glantz, are you telling me to be sad? Are you telling me to be depressed? Are you telling me to visualize ispater me'alma? I thought we don't do that. Says the Arizal, in the beginning of Shar HaKdomas, Shar Kavanas, it's this page right here. It's a bunch of small print. Osir la'odam l'ispalel b'tfilosoy b'itzvoy. It's osir for a person to dive into Hashem out of sadness. V'im nasekach. And if you do this, ein nafsho yichola lekabel ora elyon. Your nefesh cannot accept the light from above, the light of Hashem. Hanimshach elo be'is ha'tfila, that comes to you at the time of tefillah. You have to be besimcha in your davening. Says the Arizal, omnam. However, be'es shemisvadeh havidoy, when a person says tachanun, when a person does vidoy, which is referring to the process of tachanun, because the svarim and the minhag, right, the vidoy, yeah, you know what I mean? Umifaret chatov, and a person tries to specify his sins and do tshuva for his sins, as tov litatzei bruva. You're allowed to be sad then. That's a good time to be sad. Sadness has a place. That's the time. And as we learned from Sichos Aran, it's hard to be happy if you don't have a time to be sad. You have certain opportunities where you're allowed to be sad. You're supposed to be sad, to get it all out. The problem is, if you don't do that, then it always stays mixed within my mood. And then I'm never happy. But if I have times in the day where I could pour out my sadness and my frustration and my depression, then it allows me to be free the rest of the day and be happy. Avo b'shara tefillah. Besides tachanun, nimshach lo nezek nifla gadol ha'idatzus. It'll cause you tremendous damage to be sad. Save it all up for tachanun. And then he continues talking about the importance of happiness. So yes, there is a time to be sad. Which is again why we don't say tachanun on happy days, because on certain days it's also to be said. We don't say it on Shabbos, we don't say it on Yontif, we don't say it on certain special days. But on days where we are allowed to, tachanun is such an unbelievable opportunity. In fact, next time there's a bris, and next time there's a chasan, and everyone says, oh, no tachanun, now you'll be, oh, no tachanun. Okay, Rabbi Sain. Daven well. Let's stop mincha here. Maybe someone want to get some siddurim. Huh? We can say tachan, and we just can't do the pila sapai. So you want to go to the shul? Maybe go to the shul. Do you think they're done yet?
Wait till
they take so long. Huh? They take so long.
Let's do it now.
Yeah, but I also hear what you're saying. We should do tachan.
Why don't we say?